Well, good morning, everyone. Today's sermon is about, our old self being shed and our new life with Christ coming to the forefront. However, that's hard at times because we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. No one's perfect. We often stumble in our walk. As Paul wrote the church in Ephesus, he was trying to help and guide them. You will see in a moment that we often go back to the way in which we lived previously. We do not fully go back, but we have what are often habits that are not exactly healthy. I'll call them little flare-ups for today. And if we stay in those little flare-ups, they become more and more. Next thing you know, they're not just little flare-ups. They're a full flame consuming us. And that's what separates us from God. Those little flare-ups, whether they're brief, short period of time, or even longer, it's that separation from God that causes problems. Then long before you know, the Holy Spirit comes a-knocking, right? Knock some little sense into you. You're not living what God tells you to live. You're living how you want to live. And the Holy Spirit convicts you. Next thing you know, you're asking God for forgiveness. We're remorseful for what we have done. Filled with regret immediately afterwards. And as you come into the new year, 2024, are you filled with regrets? And I'm not talking about, as Pastor Creed talked about earlier, New Year's resolutions. We all know people break those within the first month. That's given. I'm going to the gym. Not so much anymore. I'm going to eat healthy. You know what? There's some good deals at the restaurants during January. But those things, they create a wedge. A wedge between you and God. Some of us have addictions we are facing, emotional, mental health issues, bad thoughts, poor decision making, or just the evil things trying to keep us where we don't need to be. And that right there, that is your old self. That's where it comes into play. That is where we like to go back, in a place to where we find comfort we were not comforted before. We default to our old ways or habits because that's what we trained ourselves to do repeatedly over and over again. To seek one's own happiness, even if it hurts others or ourselves. In those fleeting moments in which we let our own way outweigh God's way and God's direction. Now, I'm not speaking from a person of judgment. I'm speaking as a person of experience with the same regret as some of you have for 2023. We can let those habits take hold and keep them in the driver's seat, or we can move over and let God take over and drive us. Amen. Let God drive us to glory, mercy, and love that he promises each and every day. We must let that light shine bright, not be dimmed by the darkness that tries to consume us each and every day. Because that darkness, it's that little flare-up. Similar, if a spark happens in a dry brush, it immediately gets consumed. Everything around it. A wildfire starts burning bright. Everything in its path is destroyed. And I don't want that to happen to anybody here today. So as I preach this morning, I want you to reflect on 2023. Has it been what God wanted for you? Or has it been what you wanted for yourself? Please turn to your Bibles to Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. And if you're here today, on the back of the pew is a Bible for you. You can turn to page 828. And if you are able to, please rise as we read Scripture this morning. Now I'll be reading from the NIV version, which is similar to the ones in the pew. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, separated from life of God, because of their arrogance, that it is them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, such as indulging in all kinds of impurity. They are full of greed. That, however, is not the way life you learned. When you heard about Christ, we were taught in him in accordance with truth, that is, in Jesus. You were taught, with regard of your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put off the new self, or put on the new self, create to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. You can be seated. And as I read that scripture, you saw that there's two distinctive selves, right? The first is a Gentile's way of living, the old self. The second is a life with Christ, born again. Paul tells the early church that we must separate ourselves from what we were to what we are now. To no longer live like the Gentiles in their thinking, in their ways. Through this part of Scripture, you can also see there's two clear views of the way in which people are to live. The first will be covered in verses 17 through 19, because it paints a picture of how we conduct ourselves that is living a morally bankrupt life. Here in this text, you will see what it says about God, that he disapproves of the ways in which you are thinking. In other translations, might say their minds. Similar meaning, though. But you see how Paul states it, a darkening of their understanding and separated them from God. You see, today where people are happy to distance themselves from God, they are happy to rebel against society and the system. That's a badge of honor for them. But I tell you, there are many outcomes going down that path. None of them are good. That separation they are feeling will not be solved by the things they do against his teachings. It's quite the opposite. You only harden their hearts, as Paul stated in verse 18. And I don't know how many people are on Facebook a lot nowadays. I know there's a whole bunch of social media. But if you look at the sheriff's page on Facebook, there's a lot of examples of people not living by the law, not just of God, but of man. It reminds me of a lot this month for some reason. You see a lot of retail theft, especially in Stafford Marketplace. No matter how many times they post that they catch people, the very next day sometimes, they arrest another person stealing from a store right next to the one that they arrested the other person at. You would think that people would wise up and not steal, but they choose to steal. Maybe they like spending the time in the slammer during the holidays because they get free meals. I don't know. But even with that, even with our county prosecuting people for those crimes, people still do it. Maybe they think that they're playing a video game, like Grand Theft Auto, living life, doing what they want to do, that the rules don't apply to them. Maybe they're thinking they can outrun their problems. But as you see, most of them get a free ride to the local jail, but they get a free ride. Now, as quickly as it comes away, or as quickly as it comes, it goes away. Because they're getting to a point of a temporary high. They want to indulge themselves. But that's the type of self-dealing people do. Make up a void that's in all of us. We don't know Christ. But I want to look back at verse 19 again, which says, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. As you say, the early church, there were a lot of things that were devouring them as well. Things that were causing them to be separated from God, to seek their own pleasures. But that's not what God commands us, though, right? It's not what Jesus gave his life up on the cross to keep our guilty pleasures. That is why Paul tried to convict the early church at Ephesus. They were to change, not to be changed to keep doing what they did. When Jesus would forgive people, what would he often say afterwards? Go and sin no more. Not go and you're good. Don't worry about it. I got you. You're covered. You're blessed. Do you. You do you. No, it came at a cost. It came at a cost for him. That should be a reminder of us each and every day of that cost. While he did cover us and we are able to be forgiven for our sins, it wasn't a blank check. It was supposed to be you be as faithful as you can to God, to be more Christ-like in God. It is for the old self that God wants us to die. It is our old self that separates us from God. It is not our new self that separates him from us. The question you ask them, why do people even do what they do, knowing that it separates them from God? I can't tell you what's in everybody's head, but I can surmise. That's arrogance. The fact that they seek their pleasure in things of this world more than they seek their pleasure of God's company. We often value our own worth, not necessarily a bad thing, but you can put too much stock in your own value. You can think you're the greatest thing since the internet. I know people like the sliced bread analogy, but I think we're way past that time. However, are we that vain that we put ourselves on a pedestal that could easily be knocked over? Again, it's God that wants to be with us, but it's our old self that separates us. The ESV version and other versions state in verse 19, instead of separated, it uses the word alienated from the life of God. Liberty University's commentary stated that having alienated themselves completely. They're in the grips of spiritual death. When you switch it to the latter, the word alienated. That sits a little different with us when you hear spiritual death, which can drum up emotions from those who have turned their back on to God. Someone listening now might be living a life that's negating their second life. For those who accept Christ and repent, we have our second life. But that's what I'm trying to get across. If we let our old self come creeping back into our lives like an old ex, we'll never escape. But think about it in that context. I'm using the word ex. It could be ex-boyfriend, girlfriend, and so forth. But there's a reason you left that person, isn't it? I could take my sister's story, which I told many times from this pulpit. She let her ex back in her life because he said he had changed. Didn't take long before his abusive behavior and alcohol problems to creep back in. Because he never gave up his whole old self. He wouldn't be living like the Gentiles do. It cost my sister's physical life at the age of 30 years old. But fortunately, she had came to Christ. Fortunately, she's with our Savior and God in heaven right now, escaping that life. But that self-dealing, that type of old self, affects others. That is why it matters so much to me right now. Because if you separate yourself from God, you separate yourself from everything. If you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. If you give the devil a foothold into your life, he's like that black plague, destroying everything, including yourself. But it's not too late to say enough is enough. I'm not taking this baggage into the new year. God demands I do not do it. Scripture tells us that Jesus commanded us to bear much fruit, not to wither like the branches, as found in John 15. In Job 15, 31 through 33, it states, "Let him not deceive himself by trusting what is worthless, for what is worthless, for he will get nothing in return. Before his time, he will wither, and his branches will not flourish. He will be like the vine, stripped of its unripe grapes, like an olive tree shedding its blossoms." Now, I might have dwelled a little bit too much on the old self, but there's a reason. Because no matter what, we always seem to find ourselves going back there. Whether it's in actions, thoughts, or deeds, but it's time to stomp out that old self. It's time to put out those little flare-ups. Or it will be spread like a wildfire. Reminds me of the story of Job, though. And by the way, if you haven't seen the movie The Shift, I know it's a little different, but definitely go watch it, whether it's in the theaters or on the studio's website. But think about Job and his faithfulness, even when everything was taken from him. And others said he deserved it somehow. However, when God took everything, he cherished him more. Anybody else? That might have been crippling if you think about what happened. House falling down, kids dying, disease, losing everything. But Job stayed faithful during that trial. And when God restored him, Something more magnificent than what he had originally came to fruition. His obedience to God created an abundance of happiness afterwards. Which brings me to our new self. The one with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And as we explore verses 20 through 24, it shows you a different side of Scripture as Paul was trying to emphasize the importance of faith and the teachings of Jesus. So that the people in the early church at Ephesus do not fall back into their old ways, but to bring it to modern times, a lot of new Christian believers in other countries, that happens to them too. They get stuck in their old ways, the old ways of doing things. Maybe they consult the witch doctor again. Maybe they worship a different idol sometimes. But it's that old way of thinking, that old way of life. Is that what God wanted? He wants you to be renewed with him. But that's a lot of times what people struggle with here, even in America. The struggle of being a new believer, trying to bring yourself to Christ. Because we often struggle with our own way of thinking instead of letting God direct them after the fact. Everything you have done in your profession of faith has been ingrained into you. Now, one must ingrain the Christian faith foundations to make the more muscle memory action that we go to instead. Let me read again what it says in verse 20 through 21, which states, "That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ, you were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You see, we must learn from the teacher who taught us to shelve that old self to follow him." In Titus 11 through 14, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared that our salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly possessions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and impurity, and to purify himself a people that his very own, eager to do what is good." Again, pointing to God and Jesus' teachings is why our new self must mirror what is possible to be more Christ-like. But back to my sermon title, Out with the Old, In with the New. The new is being your life with Christ. One that has set apart a new creation with God. The gift that God gives us with our new life, our eternal life, is more valuable than anything on this earth. I know it's going to be hard to say this and for y'all to hear this, but your job, your status in society, your spouse, your children, they don't matter in the grand scheme of things. You can't take any of that with you when you go to heaven. It's all left here on this earth. Submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Accept instruction from his mouth. Lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove the wickedness far from your tent, Job 22, 21 through 23. Those verses kind of point to the last two verses in Ephesians 4, 23 through 24. To put away one's prior self. and put on the new one in Christ. So I asked you earlier to reflect on 2023, of any regrets you might have. That's for a reason. Because we often do not do what we say we're going to do. I'm guilty of it. You can just ask my wife and kids. My wife's over there smiling and shaking her head, yes. But oftentimes they'll tell you my favorite response. Give me a second. Give me a few minutes. That could turn to an hour or hours, days, or never in some cases. But get a little bit better at it. But, you know, like Dory sometimes in Finding Nemo, I forget stuff. But however, your actions must match your words spoken in the end. And that's what Paul was trying to tell them. You can't profess to be followers of Christ if you're not willing to give up your old life before him. I'll say it a little differently. You cannot live the same way you were living than expecting a different outcome. You can't try doing the same thing over and over and seeing where it gets you. We already know the outcome. It's going to be the same outcome that was before. That's why I implore you to follow Christ's teachings. That's why it's so important when you become a faithful servant of God that you follow him. You don't just follow parts of what he says. You follow all of it. You don't get to pick and choose what's the context of the scripture. It was written how it was written, and it still applies today. Billy Graham once stated, being a Christian is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It is the daily process whereby you grow to be more and more like Christ. So why not make God a daily part of your life in 2024 and beyond? I can tell you it will change you. It will change how you see others in your life each and every day. And it will give you opportunities to help your fellow man. And as you heard me say it before, we're all connected. But what you do as a person, not just as a Christian, affects others. We just finished a Bible study Wednesday nights on It's a Wonderful Life, right? For all those who seen the movie. It was so eloquently painted in that movie of how George, without him, so many things didn't happen. The whole town changed because he wasn't there. That's important to each one of you here, even those online. Without you, nothing in the future happens. God created each of us for a purpose as part of his master plan. And we are all needed to fulfill it. Each and every day. So take what God has given you and Jesus taught us and apply it to your new self. Seek him in all things, whether small or large. Take time to worship him, praise him, seek his counsel, give thanks. That is how you apply today's message you heard today. That is how you show others what Christianity truly means. Love, mercy, grace. But the greatest is love. The same love that God gave us by putting his son, his only son, on the cross. Not because he was guilty, but because we were guilty. Guilty of letting our own will supersede his will. guilty of failing to live by his word every day, guilty of being silent when he should have been vocal, guilty of letting the devil tempt us when we should have been more like Jesus in the wilderness, being tempted by the devil for 40 days and not giving in. We can apply Ephesians 4, 17 through 24 in our lives by being as close to Christ-like as we can. Like I said, we're not perfect. We do stumble. But there's a time where you make a decision. Make the right decision. And when we do stumble, we seek him. We ask for forgiveness. We repent for our sins. We show true remorse. We go tell somebody about God has done in our lives. And as the song goes, we go tell it on the mountains for all to hear so that they too can be changed. Finally, we leave our old self in 2023 and bring our new self into the new year and beyond. That is how we follow Christ. That is how we apply it in our lives each and every day. That is how beyond these doors we change the world around us. As I close today, take heed to what I said, because nothing can change unless you change. If you're not willing to change, you're doing more harm than good. Don't get me wrong, God's going to forgive you. But if you find yourself talking to God every day or every few days, asking for forgiveness, maybe the problem is in the mirror looking back at you. Maybe the problem is you. You're the one that needs to change. You're the one who needs to better himself or herself. I can tell you right now, it's okay to ask for help. We are stronger together. Doesn't make you weak or feeble. It makes you strong. You're willing to ask for help. Because that's what Christians are supposed to do. Supposed to help each other, right? Supposed to build each other up, strengthen each other. And as you look around, we're looking a little light today, huh? Some people went somewhere for New Year's Eve. But maybe you're also, those people are missing, right? You're thinking of them. But maybe there's someone you have in your mind, somebody you interacted with previously. Maybe a family member that's not here. Another state, maybe. That you wish they could hear this message. Good news is, it's all being recorded on YouTube. And as much as I would like to get hundreds of views, that'd be great, right? That doesn't matter to me. What matters is that it changes somebody. Even one person. Whether they come to Christ, whether they change their habits, or whether they change others. That's what matters. Scripture teaches us to leave the 99 to pursue the one. That's who I'm pursuing, the one today. Through you and those watching. That one can be something more than what we ever thought of. They could be a preacher, evangelist, a doctor, a counselor, a business person, and so forth and so forth. They can change this world more than what we could have done. But it takes an action. And as we depart here in a bit, let that new self in Christ shine bright for others to see. Keep that old self buried, as in Romans 6, 4 through 5 states, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized in his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Be raised in the newness of Christ to go forth by his words and actions. As we pray for today and for this message, let us bow our heads and close our eyes. I wonder if someone here wants to change in 2024 from who they are now to one with Christ. Maybe your old self is showing up too much these days, and you need God to help you in your life. I want us to pray for you. So if you need that prayer today, go ahead and just slip your hand up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And maybe there's someone here too who doesn't know that they're going to heaven. Maybe they're not quite sure they've been saved. That's you. Go ahead and raise your hand. Thank you. I just want you to know that I see you. God sees you. He sees the struggle. He sees the hurt. He sees the healing needed. He sees you. He sees you all. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we embark on the new year, there's a lot of reflection that people often do of the previous year. We reflect what we have done, what we have said, what we have failed to do sometimes, Lord. We think about what can change. How can I change myself? As we learned today, Lord, it's found in Scripture. Anything that we face, there's an answer in Scripture, Lord. And we need clarity. We seek it through you, through prayer. We ask for guidance. We know you answer prayers, Lord. You give us that guidance to help us become better, to be more like your Son, Christ. And I know there's a lot of people who are hurting from different things, Lord. Some of them spoken, some of them unspoken. And I lift up their prayers today, Lord, for those people. I lift them up because I know they need you now more than ever. I know they need you in their lives because they are struggling hard. They're trying to gather their strength to fight the trial that they're going through. Maybe for some of those here, Lord, they're praying for someone too, to know who you are, to seek you, to ask for forgiveness, for ask for healing, to repent of that sin truly and be remorseful. But know that once you have been forgiven, you have been wiped clean. That God no longer remembers what you have done. He only sees the new person, the new life showing. And that even though the devil will come knocking, telling us, hey, remember what you used to do? Remember this, remember that? No, because God has forgiven me. I have made amends with my Savior and the people around me. You can't bring me back to my old self because I am with a new life in Christ. And I ask for blessings on everyone here, those watching online, those who are not able to make it today, Lord, that you watch over them, guide them, heal them. Give them the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. That in 2024, they not only make an impact in their lives for the better, but everyone around them. And I pray this in your Son's holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.